The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/big deal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codenamed Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you, you are here, and that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It's time, folks, for some strange news. Now, we comb through the forums, the dark corners of the internet. We try to bring you things you might not have heard about or talk about them in a way that the normal media isn't really approaching. So, of course, one of the most hazardous occupations right now is to be a Russian oligarch. We're going to talk about that. There's a lot of power and danger in knowledge. We're going to talk about a guy who was very offended by that. He's angry at the dictionary, basically. And then we're also going to answer the question, what do you get the man who has literally everything? Has all the stuff, you know what I mean? Maybe his birthday's coming up. Maybe he just wants to get something nice for himself. You can't get him a camel. Like, he'd just have as many camels as he wants.
I propose just get him one more thing. even if it's redundant. Yeah, then he has doubles. And then maybe he gets triples. You know?
Triples having triples is always... Triples are safe.
They're best. It's true. Yeah.
Triples is best. Triples are safe. Mm-hmm. I didn't even want to marry her. She was a model. Then she died. All right. Anyway, shout out to I Think You Should Leave Now. Spoiler, Lord, folks. We're talking about Elon Musk and Twitter. Unless you have been purposely trying to avoid that story, he recently inked the deal. It looks like it's definitely going to happen. This was announced today as we record April 25th, 2022. Bottom out for $45 billion. Do you guys want to talk about that first? Like, I know we teased this a little because it was already in the works last week when we were talking, but it seemed like it didn't seem as certain back then. You know, there could have been a poison pill put in that would have diluted his shares. There could Right. have been any number of things that would lead to like a hostile takeover attempt.
But it seems like the board of Twitter decided to play ball. So pretty soon, it will be a Musk-run platform. First, before we get into the details, we want to set some basics. And I think it's helpful for us all to give our own opinions here. We can read the stuff that he proposes to change about Twitter. But before we dive in, I wanted to ask you guys, what's your initial take? For it, against it? Does it matter?
I mean, I just don't care for the guy. He bugs me. He rubs me the wrong way in a pretty palpable fashion. But I do have to say, I respect the guy's hustle. I respect the guy's ability to power move basically anybody. And when you're sitting on $273 billion in net worth, you kind of got the capital to do that. But he played that board like a fiddle, man. It was all like, okay, I'm going to buy up all these shares. And then he's like the single, you know, largest shareholder in the company. He's like, oh, I'm entertaining the idea of being on your board. Oh, wait, it turns out that puts limitations on all the things I can do and say. Nobody puts Elon in a corner, you know? And then all of a sudden, it's like he's trash talking Twitter on Twitter. He's acting like he's standing up for freedom of speech, but like it also seems like he doesn't like people making fun of him on the internet. Is he just going to clamp down on stuff like that? Is he really a proponent of freedom of speech? I just think the guy's a troll, and I think he's kind of dangerous.
For me, the story is all about what you just said. When you have that much money in net worth, right? And you are, your life is worth this much money. It doesn't mean that you actually have access to that amount of money. It means right. that somebody like Elon Musk can go to Morgan Stanley and Bank of America, and those banks will give you billions of dollars, $20 billion a piece or more, so that you can buy something else. Like, that's crazy to me. That is, that just doesn't feel like it should exist, that one human being can do that.
Let me give you guys another couple of examples of what people are worried about. So if you were a person of a certain age, you may remember a brick and mortar toy store called Toys R Us. Toys R Us is not around anymore because another company bought it and they were able to cut a bunch of costs to up profits, but then offset the debt by sending it out to what had become a shell of the company that once was Toys R Us. And this spelled doom for that company, but it spelled profits for the forces that were engaging in this predatory activity. Some people tell you, yes, just business as usual. And then other people say, yes, but things can be business as usual and still be bad. You know what I mean? So there are concerns that Musk might do some kind of pumping the value of this and then selling it off and then walking away. Twitter has struggled to be profitable for a while. That's pretty clear. It's also been pretty controversial for quite some time. It also has a lot of criticism about the algorithm. That's a big deal. It's got a lot of criticism about bots or foreign disinfo agents. Here's the thing. It's never been bigger than other social media platforms. Twitter has like 217 million people, which is a lot of people. But it's not doing Facebook heyday numbers, for instance, or Instagram numbers necessarily. My first question was, why this move? Even for the world's official most wealthy person, official, because no one knows how much money Putin has, case in point, even for the world's most wealthy person, $45 billion, kind of a big purchase, you know, I would say. And a lot of it, as you beautifully pointed out, Matt, a portion of that money is coming to him from a bank, right? He's being assisted a bit. He's not just coming by with the world's biggest suitcase filled with cash, though that would be hilarious. Instead, there's a lot of speculation about what prompted him to do this. He had some cryptic pulls before when he got, 9% of the company, something like that. I want to give you what he said, and then I want to talk about one of the conspiracy theories I've found, which people are accepting as fact, hasn't been confirmed by him. So first, he said he wants to preserve free speech on Twitter. For him, he's saying it's not about the money. It's just the content moderators were actively tamping down on free speech and debate. He said, free speech is the bedrock of a functioning democracy, and Twitter is the digital town square where matters vital to the future of humanity are debated. So he wants to have more free speech, less, I guess, handsy content moderators. He also wants to make the algorithm open, which is interesting. His argument being that then you can look at the code and you can see why some tweets are hitting your feed and why others seem to be buried or almost shadow banned.
That's interesting. I'm not against that. But I mean, here's my question for you guys. Is Twitter that big a deal still? I've never been a Twitter person, and I certainly know people that are, and I've always heard it described as sort of a toxic cesspit of like negativity. But also, even when Elon was kind of trolling Twitter, he pointed out that some of their biggest power users hadn't sent a tweet in over a year, like Justin Bieber, for example. Like I heard this piece, I think it was on The Daily, and this journalist was talking about how Elon, when he kind of was, you know, going for Twitter on Twitter, after they kind of like put all these limitations on him potentially for joining the board, he pointed out all these problems with Twitter after like buying this huge share. So it's like, I don't know if I buy it, man. Like, I know you use Twitter, Ben, and I know there's a lot of interesting people on Twitter, and there's, you know, Frank, friend of the show, dear friend of us, uses it a lot. I just have never had much use for it. If something ends up trending on Twitter, I usually see it reposted as a screenshot or like on Instagram, which is my platform of choice. But do you believe the whole town square of the internet, of the world thing? Or do you think he's just kind of, it's just smoke? I think he's just trying to pump up the shares and make a bunch of money.
Well, here are the other two big things we should know about this. Yes, he has in the past trolled Twitter on Twitter. You know, you got to admire the chutzpah of it. But I'd also like to point to a great New York Times live update that's occurring as we record. As soon as this was announced that he was taking over the company at $54.20 a share, 38% over what you know you'd normally buy it for, he sent some regulators into a panic. The board said yes, and he says it's about he also wants to, this is interesting, defeat all the spam bots. You got to like the gaming, the gaming nomenclature. But more importantly, something I think might bother some folks, Twitter users in the crowd, he wants to authenticate all humans, which means there will be another blow to anonymity on Twitter. Right. And this is something that different governments and state-level actors have pushed for in the past, the idea that the internet should not have the option of anonymity in any way. It's usually presented as a way to prevent crimes, particularly the red meat crimes that everyone can reasonably oppose. Like the idea of saying, you know, we need everybody. The UK did something like this a while back. I don't, it didn't work for them, but they said, we want everybody to be easily identifiable by their government name anywhere on the internet in the United Kingdom, because it will help us prevent the abuse of children. And this is clever, whether or not you think they're sincere. This is, from a logic standpoint, this is a very clever way to frame stuff, because then anybody who says, I don't think people should have to clearly identify themselves all the time, then they will inherently on some level be tied in with people who abuse children. It's brilliant. It's the kind of fear mongering that helps a lot of surveillance laws get put into place. And this is not obviously this is not us condoning any crimes like that. We're just saying it's misleading sometimes.
Does that mean everyone has to get a blue check mark now? Is that the deal? Like you basically have to be somehow multi-level authenticated to be on the internet and use like your real name? Is he trying to eliminate the troll by forcing people to use their true identities? I'm just making sure I'm understanding.
Unclear. These are like the four big things he said so far. We just don't know how much of that is, we don't know what the specifics of that would look like yet.
I mean, that's an interesting debate, guys. The concept of somehow pulling anonymity off of things like social media and comment, like when you post on a website's comments, right? I think we've got two stories that are going to match up pretty well here today.
Yeah, I think so, right. too. Which is ironic, considering that Elon Musk is kind of king of the trolls, too. So it's like, what's his angle? You know, I'm very suspicious of all of this.
Yeah. Okay. So here we get to the conspiracy theory. I almost hesitate to call it a conspiracy theory, but there's this common school of thought going around in the past few weeks or so that Musk actually is buying Twitter as a way of shutting down this kid who figured out how to track his private jet. And he originally offered this guy a relatively small sum of money to stop doing it. And the guy said, no, sorry, you can't buy everything, modern age Mansa Musa. And then the idea is that he reacted by going all in to buy Twitter. That feels a little simplified to me. I think maybe there's, you know, if we could read the guy's mind, there's a morass of other factors and variables playing in. But it also opens up a conversation that I've been having on Twitter. I admit it. I've been bullying HSW, where we're talking about the free speech aspect of this. We've said it in the past. You know, a lot of people use social media. Millions upon millions of people use it every day to communicate. It's purposely built to be addictive and give you that little endorphin rush. As a matter of fact, I have great respect. My favorite conversations are when my friends and I aren't constantly looking at our phones, but those are increasingly rare in general. And with this in mind, it's sometimes easy to forget that something so ubiquitous is still a private platform, right? Like if you go into any private business and you say stuff that they don't like, it doesn't matter what you're saying, they can push you out if they don't like it. And Twitter, despite being seen as a champion of free speech in many places, is still a private entity, which means it can change its rules at any time, because who reads the terms of service? And then you just, if you don't dig it, then you have to leave. That's the rule. There's not like an amendment or something, you know, if you, that's why you can go into employment at a car dealership. And if they don't like what you're saying about their competitor, if you're saying, look, I know I work at a Ford dealership, but those Nissans are pretty nice. They don't have to put up with that. You know, you're out the door, right? Do not pass go. Yeah. Do not collect $200.
I used to work at a music store that I won't name in my hometown, which I've said before. So you can probably do some Googling and figure it out which one. They were horrible, horrible people that ran this music store. They actively only hired young kids. And I thought it was the greatest job in the world when I got hired there when I was in, like, you know, high school. And they trained us and everyone that worked for them to overcharge people, to sell things as high, close to list price as possible. And if anyone ever, they found out that anyone bought something at one of their competitors, they would be banned from the store for life. And we would have to, we teenagers were the ones that had to say, sorry, you can't come in because of this, if they even breathed a word of it.
And it's a not uncommon thing. So the question is, really what I'm hoping to do here, folks, is to set us up for deeper analysis later. By now, when this strange news segment comes out, you will have heard all of these facts already. Some small things may have changed, right? But barring any revelations, that's where we are. I want to set it up with questions for deeper analysis. What is the interaction between private tech giants and free speech? What should that interaction be? Do you believe that Musk, whether you love the guy or hate him, do you believe that he is being honest and transparent about his motivations? Is there something else at play? What does this mean for the future? Here's how I'd like to end it. We talked about the getting something for the guy who has everything. What do you think he wants to buy next? We'll marinate on that for a second during a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with more strange news.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back. Plus, no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back. God, Ben, you're right. Further analysis is going to be this Musk story is going to be something to keep an eye on, because it is an interesting question. Like the idea of being able to leverage that kind of wealth into God knows what, and to be able to, like, I don't know. It's just, I think his rise to that level of opulence happened so quickly. I think in 2020, he was like the 35th richest man in the world, and now he's the richest man in the world. And with that comes a whole lot of power. It's a really good question that you posed, Ben, and I'm interested in exploring this further. But for now, we're going to go down a bit of a different rabbit hole about power, the power of language. Who controls it? Who decides when words mean what they mean, if those definitions change over time? Well, one of the big arbiters of this decision-making power is the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. Webster's defines woman, girl, and female in certain ways. And these definitions have shifted over time. Today, the word girl is defined in Webster's as of relating to or being the sex that typically has the capacity to bear young or produce eggs, and having a gender identity that is the opposite of male. So let's think about, I don't have an older legacy definition in front of me, but I think we can all probably pick some of the additions to make it kind of catch up with the times. The idea of gender identity, you know, that being a thing, and of relating to, you know, adding those instead of just being the sex that is typically the capacity to bear young or produce eggs. Makes a whole lot of sense. Gender identity and fluidity, and the way we as humans and as citizens really treat and think about people with differing gender identities than what they were born with, it's come a long way. I mean, there's obviously still horrible injustices and horrible violence against the trans community, specifically, where it used to be more highlighting and focusing on the gay or the queer community, you know, hate crimes. Now it is very much something that is affecting very disproportionately young trans people who are, you know, being killed all over the world just because of the way they look, the way they identify. But Webster's decided to go, you know, to be that leader, to be the arbiter of culture and to move that definition forward. That is my opinion. I applaud them for doing that. But there's some people, likely the same kinds of people that would do harm to people with trans identities who don't like that, who think that it represents some sort of agenda, some sort of nefarious plot to pollute the minds of the youth or something like that. And one such person is a man by the name of Jeremy David Hansen, who between October 2nd and October 8th, according to this article in Gizmodo by Jody Serrano, submitted multiple threatening messages on the like contact us form on the I'm sorry, I'm laughing. It's just like it's not how you think people would use that form on the Webster's website and threatening, essentially ranting about, in opposition to the things I was just describing, these changes, these adaptations of these definitions over time. He's got some very charged language in here, but I'm going to read it. I'm going to bleep out anything that I think is just beyond. But he says, "Your headquarters should be shot up and bombed. It is sickening that you have caved to the cultural Marxist anti-science," and a word I'm not going to use here, but it's starts with a T and ends with Annie, agenda, "and altered the definition of, quote, female as part of the left's efforts to corrupt and degrade the English language and deny reality. You evil Marxists should all be killed. It would be poetic justice to have someone storm your offices and shoot up the place, leaving none of you commies alive." Yeah. So in another screed on the same form, he said, "It's absolutely sickening that Merriam-Webster now tells blatant lies and promotes anti-science propaganda. There is no such thing as, quote, gender identity," end quote. Let's see. "The imbecile who wrote this entry should be hunted down and shot." And this is actually a comment he wrote on the online version of the dictionary on the comment page for the definition of female. Seems very interesting they would have a comment section on the dictionary, but there you go. If we need proof that the internet will create rage at just about anything and a reason to put nasty comments, it's people commenting on the dictionary. But this guy's under investigation. There's a U.S. attorney assigned to the case who said in a statement that anonymous threats against specific communities will not be tolerated, adding that perpetrators will be identified, arrested, and held accountable in federal court. And I'm quoting part of the Gizmodo article in addition to her quote. An FBI special agent on the case, Joseph Bonavolanta, who's in charge of the FBI's Boston agency, he said this of the case: "Everyone has a right to express their opinion, but repeatedly threatening to kill people, as has been alleged, takes it to a new level. Threats to life are most certainly not protected speech, and they cause real fear in victims," which was very clearly the case because Webster's office actually shut down for 5 days because of this. So that's the story. What do you guys think of this kind of absolute vitriol pointed at such a seemingly innocuous publication as the dictionary? And yet, like I said at the top, the ability to kind of guide the definition of those words, it is a lot of power, which I think is being exercised for the good in this situation.
My first response is, I guess he didn't have the money to buy the dictionary, you know, to buy the whole company, yeah, and just change it and say he's a champion of free speech or whatever. I'm kidding. But right. Clearly this person has been radicalized, right? In some way, it does not matter what someone's particular personal beliefs are. right? You can have your personal beliefs as reprehensible as they are in the US. And this is one of those countries where you can also talk trash about the government and not get black bagged, which we all kind of take for granted nowadays. But we don't know how long it'll last. So enjoy it while you can. But the thing here is that this, I've never met this guy. I haven't communicated with him before this story. But one thing that we can say without stereotyping is that in a lot of these cases, this kind of opprobrium and vitriol and hate speech is coming from a not entirely sound mind. You know what I mean? A mind that has been caught in some algorithmic bubble and just bouncing around with their only points of access being the same kind of echo chamber information. You know, it might be that something personal happened in this person's life that became the impetus for them to start making these threats. But I believe, Noel, he hasn't been convicted of anything, right? He's on a $25,000 bond. Okay.
That's right. And, you know, all of these statements are being reported. We have to attach alleged here because he has not been convicted. And he obviously didn't actually do anything. But to make these types of threats is a step beyond the pale of free speech. He's 34 years old. From Rossmore, California, just to add that detail.
How did he even find out?
It's a good question. Must have been a hobby of his, just checking out the updated editions of the dictionary. And this one always, wait a minute, what's this? It's like a fly.
It's interesting to me that he was using that comment section of, I guess, the dictionary to make anonymous posts. So this person probably believed that he would never be identified. If this was, in fact, him making these posts, hasn't been proven in a court of law yet. But, you know, this person also allegedly made, I think, an anonymous Twitter account or something. So they made
that's
some.
That's right. He sure did. Mm-hmm.
It was an anonymous Twitter account called Anonymous or Anonymous or something like that. And was sending more. I guess he had to use Twitter in order to make comments and other things. So it's just like if Musk had his way and everybody was verified, this guy would have been, boop, we got you. Can't say those things. You get a fine or, you know, now we're watching you or, you know, you're in trouble and we know it for sure. We don't have to go through a court system like this to like prove it in a court of law. We know it. You're verified. You typed it.
I got to say, though, I mean, like, you know, at what point can you chalk it up to dark humor or like just obscenely black, you know, sardonic humor? Like in this Johnny Depp Amber Heard case, like Johnny Depp was quoted in some of his tweets or not tweets, rather texts about Amber Heard saying, I hope that C word's rotting corpse gets found in the trunk of a Hyundai Sonata or something like that. I mean, is that a threat or is he just being a and using like really dark, gnarly humor? I mean, you know, the question of humor is very subjective.
Yeah.
I guess maybe the issue here comes with the repetition and the specificity.
Yeah. And the fact that there's, you know, first off, pretending something is humorous is an age old tactic of the abusive and bullies. They're not very intelligent nor creative people, so they don't change their tactics very often. So it's, you know, it's the idea of saying, oh, I'm just kidding. In those kind of cases, your question has to be, really? Because usually humor has some kind of humorous aspect to it or some sort of punchline to it, right? Not to be, you know, the emperor of jokes or anything, but I've heard a few in my time and the ones that work are actually kind of humorous. Dark humor, total other thing. And I agree with your point. Like there can be a line with dark humor. I think we all love dark humor. Most people in 2022 just kind of accept that as the normal humor these days. But I would say with the Johnny Depp comparison, doesn't part of the question hinge on the verb usage? Like, I hope this happens. Is not saying someone go do this or I'm going to do this, you know?
The irony of this is it all comes down to the power of words, doesn't it?
Right.
Like how seriously should we take words? You could argue not that seriously. It's only words. It doesn't really become real until it becomes a deed. And the police will even tell you that for the most part. Like if you're freaked out by somebody and you think they're like stalking you because they're sending you too many messages on the internet or something, and they haven't actually said, "I'm going to kill you." They'll tell you. You see it in movies all the time. They can't do anything about it until someone actually commits a crime.
The messed up thing is, think about how many mass shooting events that we've seen just this year in 2022, where post the event occurring on the primary suspect or the person that was arrested or found dead, the person who did the shooting or the killing had made social posts that were very specific, or made videos that were very specific about what they wanted to do. And maybe sometimes they weren't even so specific. They just wanted to do something and they wanted to take action. So like, it stinks to know that we've got that on one side, because until they do something, you cannot arrest that person.
Pre-crime is not a thing.
Not yet. It feels like it's coming soon.
It is.
But yeah. It seems like this is going to be the way in, right? Looking at social media posts and maybe having a control mechanism on your Twitters and your Instagrams and YouTube.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah, no joke. And just last little detail I think is important. The charge is he's supposed to appear in federal court coming up this week that we're recording it. The charge he faces is one count of interstate communication of threats to commit violence. And that's directly outlined in a news release from the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Massachusetts. And that could carry with it a penalty of up to 5 years in prison and a fine of $250,000. I have a feeling the barrier of the burden of proof here is going to be very, very difficult.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he's going to get anywhere near any of that.
It really depends.
It's what you said about verbs. It's what you said about verbs, Ben. Mm. If someone should do this, it would be, what did he say? Should be killed. Mm. Someone, it would be poetic justice to have someone go in your offices.
The other thing I just have to add, if you read the English encyclopedias or dictionaries, excuse me, whether it's Merriam-Webster or the OED, Oxford English Dictionary, you'll find that this language in particular is filled with a bunch of other words that are way more worth deriding. Like there's so many words that are insufferable, honestly. And if I was on the right, definition page with the comments and I saw somebody say this word is trash, whoever brought this over from Latin or 14th century France, I hope they had a bad death. Yeah. I'd be like, okay, I get it, man.
I hope they get shot with a blunderbuss, or like a cannon.
If I see somebody raising hellfire and brimstone and taking out the digital pitchforks for words like dongle, then I'm going to say, yeah, I mean, that's a silly one. We all have to say that one in a serious conversation. It's weird. But
what about words he's using like commie and Marxist? And I'm just going to go ahead and say, these are words that are like problematic. Yeah. It's so much more problematic than any like slightly hedging kind of inclusive definition of a word like female. Remember that time we got yelled at for even using the word female?
It always makes
I just
me,
want to put that out there. It was one time.
Yeah.
It makes me chuckle a little bit because, of course, best of it. I think we were describing like a police report. And describe somebody in the police report as like a single, female found body, found blah, blah, blah. And somebody emailed us and lambasted us over the use of the word female, saying that it was dismissive. And I was, first of all, taken aback because I'm like, that seems wrong. It is in the dictionary. But then lo and behold, there's all these little corners of the internet that have that opinion. So it goes both ways.
Yeah.
All of this stuff.
I'll never forget when a good friend of the show, Lauren Vogelbaum, over at Saber and Brainstuff, she had pointed out that when she got in my head with this, I asked her about the use of the word female. And she said, "Ben, the thing for me about when people use the word female is it always reminds me of the Ferengi from Star Trek." And I can't get it out of my head.
Right.
But also
clinical.
Right.
Yeah.
But also this definition that this guy was so heated about, it seems like a very fair definition. It's not even necessarily applying specifically to human beings. Right. And if I'm reading correctly the way it was written.
You are. Okay. You are reading it correctly, Ben, and I completely agree. And let's just be honest, this person doesn't seem like the brightest crayon in the box either, if he's getting hung up on this stuff. I don't think he's reading the definition as intended, and is looking for a devil that is not there, in my opinion.
If his if he was cheddar, he wouldn't be the sharpest, I think.
He'd be more of like a craft single, kind of, you know?
Mm. Guys, well, just, you know, to end this conversation a little bit on a happy note, I just want to direct your attention to the comment section of the Gizmodo article.
There was a good one.
Yes, that you posted. Yeah, we saw it. It was good. It was good, but we got to credit it. We got to credit it.
It's from DJ DJ.
Mm. Wait until this guy hears about the thesaurus.
Hey-o!
Oh, it's so good. And there's one other one I really like. It was by Killa K. Just said, imagine being triggered by a dictionary. I think that's what we were getting at earlier. It's just like seemingly such an innocuous collection of, you know, words, but it also holds a lot of weight because it is like, this is the one. If it's but that's the irony too, is like, I don't need the dictionary to tell me what a word means. Like, culture tells me what a word means. You know, Ben, you're always talking about English being a living language or language just being alive. You know, if you pay attention, you know what words mean. You know, you don't need to. Oh, no, see, it's in here, highlighted. That's what it means. Can't deviate from that. And this guy's putting so much stock in this, like, kind of arbitrary thing that he has no control over that ultimately doesn't mean a hell of a lot. Anyway, that's all I've got to say about that. But let's take a quick break. Hear from a sponsor and then come back with some more strange news.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, we are back, and we are jumping to stories coming out of Business Insider, Sky News, and Newsweek. Specifically, Sky News Australia. Congratulations. That's cool that there's a whole Sky News Australia. All right, here we go. This is the title of the article from Business Insider that I read at the end of last week. Two Russian oligarchs were found dead one day apart alongside their wives and children, reports say. So first of all, we all know parts of the world, especially Russia and Ukraine, as well as a whole bunch of other countries, are embroiled in some serious hot war right now. Ukraine obviously taking the brunt of the physical damage there, and mental and all the other types of damage. But a lot of other countries are getting involved. And there's the sanctions that have been imposed on Russia have been hitting specifically their natural gas and gas industries. Most of which, or at least the largest corporations that function in there in that industry, are state run. But there are a few that are outside that are independent. And there exists something called an oligarch. And I wonder if Ben and Noel, could we just go over what an oligarch is before we jump into this story?
Sure. Like Elon Musk would be an example of an oligarch. I'm kidding.
Sort of a modern, he's like a new oligarch for sure. What that I remember from school, like an oligarch is definitely, it's sort of like a monarch, but based on money alone, right? Essentially, like based on power of the purse.
Yeah, yeah. It's so whenever you hear the term oligarchy, all that means is government by the few, right? And people would say that maybe post-Soviet Russia turned into an effective oligarchy. Although, honestly, during communism, it was still very oligarchical and hierarchical. But if you really want to put the sting on someone, then you'll call their government a plutocracy, which means governed by the rich, or you call them a kleptocracy, which means governed by thieves. An oligarch now has a very specific term. I love that we're talking about the very wealthy and we're talking about language again. It has a very specific kind of connotation today, which would be a titan of industry, like you're describing, Noel, who uses their business power to influence affairs that would normally be affairs of the state. So we'd love to hear from some of our fellow listeners on this. Would you consider very powerful U.S. business types as oligarchs? At what point do they cross that financial political Rubicon, you know? But that's basically like what an oligarch is, but you're playing with language at that point. For example, another language game. If you want to know whether the U.S. considers a country friendly or a candidate for a student-led revolution, we'll say, then look how they're described. They'll describe the governments that they like as governments. They'll describe the governments they don't like as regimes. So these are the kind of language games.
Almost always.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about oligarchs in Russia, but one of them was in Russia. The other one was hanging out somewhere else. Okay, so this is what happened. On tax day here in the United States, which is April 18th, it's a Monday. These are rough stories. So this is just a warning. If you're listening to this and you're faint of heart or you don't like stories about death, stop listening now. And I guess this would be the end of the episode. So bye, write to us. Okay. A person named Vladislav Avayev, who was the former vice president of Gazprom Bank. This is the third largest bank in Russia, and it services, as you might have guessed, Gazprom. This is the major exporter of natural gas. This is the state-run company, Gazprom. So lots and lots of money. This guy was the former vice president of the company. He was found dead that day, Monday, April 18th. Of a gunshot wound. He was in his Moscow apartment. Also found in that apartment were his wife and his daughter. They were dead from apparent gunshot wounds. According to a few other sources, there were a total of 13 weapons found within that apartment. And it was on the 14th floor, just so you know, and they consider it a luxury apartment, obviously. A pistol was found in Mr. Avayev's hand, and the apartment door was locked from the inside. This is all the initial reporting that's coming out on this event. Terribly tragic. you can see reporting, like I said, out of Sky News Australia, where they go into a little more detail about theories that have emerged, but none of those theories, you can't really talk about them with any sincerity because they're just comments that were made generally by neighbors. So, you know, they just don't hold a lot of weight. One was that Mrs. Avayev was pregnant. Her name was Yelena. She was 47 years old, and allegedly she was pregnant. And the rumor is that it was by his driver. The child was fathered by his driver, and that is why this occurred. It was a murder-suicide. But there are other reports that say she was not pregnant at all. Again, it's a matter of this happening pretty recently, not a lot of information coming out, and also a lot of private things that probably may never come out, depending on how this case moves forward. And again, yeah, this whole Sky News thing about some believed it was economic pressures because of the war that's occurring in Ukraine right now, because of the economic sanctions. These pressures caused this murder-suicide to occur. Others believe that the family was killed by an entirely third party, and it was the entire family that was slaughtered and made to look a certain way.
Yeah. I do want to shout out Newsweek, which made a list, a full list of, quote, every Russian oligarch who has died since Putin invaded Ukraine. That came out on 4/22. Sadly, you know, not to be too gallows humor about it, but this is quite possibly looking like a pattern. I know you had mentioned, I can't remember if we talked about this off air, Matt, but I know I'd seen a lot of scuttlebutt that argued at least one of these guys was murdered such that it looked like a suicide, or officially was considered a suicide, but that their lives were taken because they refused to play ball with some bids on Gazprom. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is what leads me to the second story. That was just the first person that died. Terrible, tragic story of one person and their family. The second story occurs on Tuesday, April 19th, the next day. Person named Sergei Protosenya, who was 55 years old. He is the former vice president and chief accountant of another company, this one titled Novatek, N-O-V-A-T-E-K. This is the second largest company in Russia involved in, guess what, producing natural gas and oil. Again, different because it's independent, not state-run, like Gazprom is. This person was found dead. They were hanged in the garden of this villa that they rented. It's about 75 kilometers north of Barcelona in Spain. I don't even know how to say it. Lloret de Mar, I think. Lloret de Mar. Also, very similarly to the previous story, this person's wife and daughter were found dead at the villa. They were both in their beds. They were dead of apparent stab wounds. Next to this person, Sergei, who was hanged, they found a bloody axe and a bloody knife. But guess what? No suicide note, and there were no bloodstains anywhere on Sergei's body, which, to me, says this was staged.
Ooh, you mean like execution style? I'm sorry, you mean the killing was done a certain way and the crime scene was staged to make it appear
yes,
as though it happened in a different manner?
Well, I think it is just highly unlikely that you could somehow stab to death your wife and daughter in their beds and not get any blood on you.
No, that's accurate. I follow.
And according to the news outlet Telecinco, they're one of the first outlets that reported on it there in Spain. They're saying that there are two scenarios: murder, suicide, like they're looking at in the first example we talked about, as well as some kind of, you know, third party murder. Like every person there was murdered and it was staged to look that way.
There's another weird part of this too, which is you're right. This is the story I was thinking about. If someone did commit murder, suicide, then just as you said, they would have blood on them unless they were wearing outer clothing and then had taken that off and somehow very effectively disposed of it and then did some spring cleaning. And this
maybe showered,
could look for traces in the shower. You know what I mean? Like you could, it's, mm-hmm. not super easy to clean up that kind of stuff, like with a stabbing, you know?
Well, the most messed up thing is, why would you stage the scene to look like that if you knew you were going to kill yourself and you had just murdered your own wife and your own child, your own daughter? Like, why would you take the time? I feel like again, it's just psychologically, I feel like someone who would go to the length, the extreme, to murder their own family would not then think, oh, well, I should shower and everything and, you know, clean everything up and then, you know, go hang myself next to the weapons that I killed my family with.
Maybe if they were in a very unstable mental state and it was like a control thing or something, and it's possible, but it seems kind of unlikely. And we know that there's already tension between the kind of military rulers of Russia, including Putin at the top, and some Russian business folks and successful oligarchs. You know, people have fled. One guy was literally just on his yacht going back and forth with no known destination. I think last month, one Russian businessman offered a $1 million bounty on Vladimir Putin himself, like dead or alive, old school Wild West style. Mm-hmm. And now I can't help but wonder, you know, what it feels like, it still doesn't add up. And to be a fly on the wall in those internal meetings, you know, I don't know how long that situation is going to last internally with that increasing lack of belief in Putin's leadership. And then also that plummeting trust he appears to have in his formerly close circle. I don't know what to make of it, but it doesn't smell right, man. It surely doesn't. Just like the doctors falling out of the windows during the pandemic.
Yeah. Putin made some statement about needing to cleanse the interior of Russia. Right. And that's when a bunch of these oligarchs and people were taken off. And it was a pretty messed up statement. Sounded like deaths would be occurring. It's just weird to me that these are all former SVPs or heads, you know, of these companies. I guess it's just because they're in control of so much wealth and therefore perhaps power within Russia, even though several of them are, as you said, living abroad. I don't know. It's 2 days apart to have. If these actually are family issues, right, that then caused the deaths of the entire family, or interpersonal relationship issues, it would be such a strange coincidence that it's very difficult for me to believe.
You know, we also have to consider the idea of setting an example, quote unquote, or, you know, using these deaths as a warning. You know, like, it doesn't matter where you go, you can get touched. Right.
And it's not just you.
Yeah, it's not just you.
It's your family.
Yeah, it's not just you. We might make you watch what happens to your family first, and then we'll blame it on you posthumously. Again, we don't have proof of this, but they're, like you were saying, Matt, the indications don't look super great. The similarities in deaths, the statements of Putin earlier, the fact that one guy, Alexander Tulyakov, he was found. Somebody beat the snot out of him before he died. And then there are the questions about murder weapons in weird places. All these folks have links with the Kremlin. It may be a clean out one's closet kind of thing, or maybe it's an attempt to concentrate the wealth and the control of state resources. It's tough to say, but it now is officially a very dangerous job to be a Russian oligarch. Right.
It's two tremendously tragic events. Mm-hmm. Both of those families, both incidents, there was another child that either made a phone call to do a wellness check or stumbled upon the scene. Mm-hmm. Which, again, if you're going to the extent to kill one of your children, I don't know. Just imagining that another one of your children would discover it, something about it just doesn't check out to me. The other names on that list from the Newsweek article that Ben mentioned about oligarchs who've died, just going to give you those really quickly in case you want to look them up. It's Leonid, L-E-O-N-I-D, Shulman, S-H-U-L-M-A-N. You mentioned Alexander Tulyakov. There's also Mikhail Watford, which is a different name He changed his name, I believe. Tolstoyshaya was the original name. Let's see. And then Vasily Melnikov. Mm. So if you want to look all of those up. Really, really crazy stuff. It feels like almost cartel activity that I've read about in the past. Or just organized crime, some of the old organized crime activities that I think we've all read about. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It doesn't feel like government activity to me, Bent, but I don't know. Maybe it is. Who knows?
Someone knows. I would estimate there are at least 50 to 80 people who know for sure. Problem is, they're not going to be talking to Newsweek about it, right? This may seem like a bit of a dark ending for this week's Strange News segment, but folks, we think this is important. There is a known pattern and precedent set by Russian forces, Russian intelligence forces, with enacting operations like this to send a message. And yes, there other intelligence agencies have done stuff like this in the past, to be clear, but I think we're both, you and I are trying to grapple with what this means, right? What the end game of this is. Killing the heirs is an especially brutal way to, I mean, they're cauterizing a family line at that point. But also, I've got to say, Matt, I don't know how we get out of this one to a little bit of levity, but I do know my favorite thesaurus joke.
All right.
I don't know if now's the time. I don't know. All right. Matt, did I tell you I bought that abridged thesaurus?
I hadn't heard.
Yeah, no, it's not just terrible. It's terrible. But I know. Oh God. Matt looks like a disappointed saint. You're like the patron saint of terrible jokes. We didn't write that joke. That joke, be careful with it. It's an antique. But hope you groaned as audibly as Matt did there. Sorry, I just didn't know where to take us, man, because these murders are not gonna, there's not really a way to bring justice to these people. And murder suicides do happen. They're an immense tragedy. And it's a dark time, man.
Yeah, it really is a dark time. We didn't even bring up, there were reports, Ben, that I wanted to talk about today that I decided not to, but I'll let you check this out if you want to out there. There's some reports coming out about the viability of farmland across the world, specifically in the United States and other places that generally have had fertile farmland, and how there's only about 60 years of it left. Mm-hmm. 60 years of it left, and it takes about 1,000 years to get a new inch of usable topsoil. And what does that mean? How does that math work out for us?
Yeah, what was that? Oh, I sent it off air when we were chatting, because we're bookworms. I was thinking of where to live next, or where to maybe even try to buy a house. And I ended up rabbit holing into that really cool, incredibly bleak, the world in a 50 to 100 years interactive map link. Remember that?
Yeah.
It's legit. There was also a huge organized protest of scientists about how the world's going into the crapper, and it got barely any news coverage, which,
dude,
makes you wonder.
Dude, I looked at a piece of news because I thought it would be a lighthearted thing. It was about this Georgia, what was she? Oh, she's an official for Georgia sports, like kids playing organized sports. Mm-hmm. And she was attacked and assaulted by a parent. And I remember seeing some local news story about it, but she has now become the face of an entire thing. I didn't realize this. Officials for like kids organizations, you know, Little League baseball and that kind of thing, they are leaving in droves, in the same way teachers are leaving in droves, because of the violence, the implied violence and actual violence that's being taken out on them. In the same way that this person that we just did a story on commenting on the dictionary, where people say horrible things, and in some cases, they actually act them out.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's generally just punching in like some kind of brawl situation, but you can only imagine how bad it could get.
Yeah.
I'm just feeling nervous and freaked out about the world.
No,
Ben.
That's the way to
that's
be.
That's okay.
That's the way to be.
Levity.
Oh, levity. Before we get to levity. Okay. And Alexis is telling us to wrap here. Just do check out.
Yeah. Check out
the Scientist Rebellion, folks, and ask yourself. It will tell us, actually, if you saw anything about this in your local news. Essentially, over 100,000 scientists just a few days ago across 25 countries took part in these demonstrations. They called the Scientist Rebellion. Also, a climate activist, Wynn Bruce, set himself on fire, self-immolated in front of the Supreme Court. I think that one got some kind of press. But we want to know if this stuff is reported in your neck of the woods. We want to hear what you think about the power of both words and oligarchs. We want to know if you think it is a good thing or a bad thing or an irrelevant thing for Musk to have bought Twitter. And as always, we can't wait to hear more strange news from you. We try to be easy to find online until Musk, takes us down or buys the rest of the internet.
Yes, on Elon's brand new social media, we are at Conspiracy Stuff. On Instagram, we are Conspiracy Stuff Show. You can find us on Facebook, both at Conspiracy Stuff and on our page, Here's Where It Gets Crazy. To get in, all you need to know is who hosts this show, Ben, Matt, and Noel. And if you don't like that kind of stuff, why not give us a phone call?
Yes. Use your phone for, as my pal Matt says, the purpose it was intended to be used for. Thanks, Matt. Never going to forget that burn. The number is 1-833-STDWYTK. You'll call. You'll hear a hopefully familiar voice letting you know you're in the right place. 3 minutes. Those 3 minutes are yours. Go nuts with them. Give yourself a sick nickname. We love a good moniker. Tell us what's on your mind. Second most important thing, let us know if we can use your name and or message on the air. First most important thing. A primary thing to remember, mission critical here, folks. If you have a story that needs more than 3 minutes, don't even bother with the phone line. Write it out to us. Give us the pictures. Give us the ancillary links. Take us to the edge of the rabbit hole, and we'll see how deep it goes. All you have to do is send us a good old-fashioned email where we are.
Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com. Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring? but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.